ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in Sports Central on Radio Row inside the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. It is Thursday, February 1st, 2018. Jam-packed show for you today. Jay Glazer, Kenny Mayne, Lee Steinberg, the super agent that Jerry Maguire was made after, Jeff Morrow from the Food Network, plenty to get to in the next hour, and I have a feeling we're going to go long today. But first, there's breaking news with the Chicago Bulls, something we've been talking about for a couple days finally happened. Let's get right into our lead.
Valentine back to Nico. Fake and a step up two is going to go. Jimmy is shooting the rest of the way.
Dragic had the game.
There's Nico and
he scores from outside.
And they need that.
More assertive in the fourth quarter. Now they've gotten striking distance now.
Here's Nico again. I was just going to say, that's not probably the best shot in the world, but it is when you make it.
Nico Mirotic officially traded to New Orleans, which we thought was happening a couple days ago, but now it has. And to I've been so busy with interviews here, so I want to bring in Mark Carman from WGN Radio to give us the details on this trade. Mark, it finally happened. So how did this thing finally go down? Because we had the issue with his option, the year two option. So how did they figure this thing out?
Right, Adam, first of all, I miss you. It was great sitting next to you for the first 3 days of Super Bowl week. I'm sending you hugs. And we did get to share in the Nico Mirotic roller coaster ride of a trade.
We did.
But so the Bulls included a second round pick to get this done. So the Pelicans would indeed pick up Mirotic's $12.5 million team option for next season. The Bulls also gave the Pelicans some salary cap relief by taking on Tony Allen and Jameer Nelson, who they're going to waive. So the Pelicans can also add Greg Monroe in another deal. So New Orleans, despite losing Boogie Cousins, is still in on being a playoff team this year. And the Bulls are getting a first-round pick, which probably will fall somewhere 15 to 20 for Nico. And, you know, they're getting Omer Asik back, who we can now relearn how to pronounce his name. So, you know, the Bulls, bottom line, Nico's gone, and it got a little more complicated in the end, but the deal gets done, and Nico's going to New Orleans.
And look, it's the moment he got punched in the face by Bobby Portis, you knew this was going to happen. So it's got to be a victory for the Bulls to get a first-round pick out of this.
Yes, that's true, but, you know, Nico demanded that one of the two got traded. I think Nico actually deep down wanted to stay, but the Bulls were prepared to keep Portis and to move on from Nico, who never really lived up to their expectations. But, you know, I don't think the Bulls anticipated that Nico was going to play as well as he did this year. And just a reminder, you know, the guy's 26 years old. He averaged 17-6. The Bulls were 3-20 before he came back. He does something that most teams are searching for, which is shoot the three. And he's long, so you know you got a tall guy out there roaming the 3-point line is getting better. I think Nico has a chance to be a very good player in the league. So you know I don't think it's a huge celebration for the Bulls right now that Nico's gone. He's been at times their best player this year. He also paired well with Chris Dunn, who can use shooters around him. And I thought him and Lauri Markkanen were developing a bond as well.
All right, thanks, Mark. Mark Carman from WGN Radio knows the Bulls better than anybody. Thanks for jumping on.
You got it, Adam. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Don't think you believe me, but I believe it. Mark Carman jumping on the Bulls breaking news. We are at the Super Bowl, though, and have a ton of content from Radio Row to bring you today. And the originally what we were going to start with today was Brian Urlacher's Hall of Fame candidacy. And I got to tell you, I've hinted at this a couple times this week. I just think fans need to prepare themselves for the possibility that Brian Urlacher's not going to get in on Saturday. He will get in eventually. A lot of people took exception. We had Terrell Davis on the show yesterday, and Terrell Davis, who waited 11 years to get in, knows how the process works, said that he does not think Brian Urlacher is going to get in on Saturday. And a lot lot of Bears fans got upset with Terrell Davis, took shots at him on Twitter, and it was like, he doesn't think Brian, it's not that he doesn't think Brian Urlacher's worthy, it's that this process is tough, and there's only five guys that can get in, and I'm sorry, but the consensus from outside Chicago, everyone from the NFL is here, and I've talked to a ton of people from outside of the Chicago market, and they go, yeah, Brian's not necessarily a shoe-in first-year selection. We obviously disagree with that in Chicago. We saw him play all the time. But I'm just saying, prepare yourself for the possibility that he's not going to get in on Saturday. To help us understand the process, I talked to the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame this morning, David Baker. You've probably seen photos or videos of him before. He's this giant 6'9 guy, used to be the commissioner of the AFL, but had a conversation with him today about the process, about Brian Urlacher and other candidates like T.O. who hasn't gotten in and definitely should be in. So here's my conversation with David Baker, starting with just how busy of a week this is for him.
You know, it's an exciting week, obviously, Super Bowl Sunday, but on Saturday we have Selection Saturday, where we're going to change some lives of 4 to 8 people that will go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one of whom might be Brian Urlacher.
Yes, it's been our big topic for the week in Chicago. One of the most beloved Bears of all time. And you know, I want to get your thoughts. Just can you kind of give us an idea of what happens Saturday in terms of the meeting that happens, the voting process, and why it's so tough for these guys to get in on the first ballot?
Well, you know, let me kind of take it a step back.
Okay.
There have probably been 300 young men, probably like you and I, that played the game of football at the park on the high school team or whatever. There's only 5 million that have played it in college. There's only 29,000 who have ever been paid to play it, coach it, or officiate it in the National Football League. And of that, there's only 310 right now who have a bronze bust in Canton, Ohio, and only 174 living Hall of Famers. So that's elite company right there. We have 48 elite selectors, guys like Peter King from Sports Illustrated, or John Clayton and Sal Palantonio from ESPN, Jarrett Bell from USA Today. They're the very best, and they work all year long in paring guys down. And we go into the room on Saturday with 18 finalists. One contributor, which means it's somebody who's not a player and coach. Two senior candidates, which means that they've been out of the league for 25 years. And 15 modern finalists, which means that they've been retired at least 5 years. And we've got 48 elite selectors in there, and you got to be selected by 80% of those guys.
Yeah.
So it is not easy. You got guys like Lynn Swann, who've been a finalist for 14 times. But once you make it, it doesn't matter how long you're a finalist, you are a Hall of Famer forever.
Well, and I talked to one of those guys, Terrell Davis, yesterday was on our show, and he waited a long time but finally got in. Now there's a presenter, right, on Saturday, each one of these guys, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Dan Pompey from Chicago is presenting Brian Urlacher's case.
And again, that's a very important role because, you know, these guys have about 5 minutes to present his case, and then we get into a debate, and the debate, your listeners can't see, but I'm about 6'9 and 400 pounds, and I don't have a vote, but you got to be this big to keep it moving, because at 7 o'clock, we've got to go live to the nation on the Honor Show to reveal what this class is. Dan's one of our best selectors. I know he'll do a great job for Brian.
And what else you guys got going on this week? I saw a Hall of Fame channel got launched.
We're launching the Hall of Fame channel so fans can look behind the scenes, and they can find it by going to profootballhof.com. We've kind of been around the world this year because we've been to with Pope Francis at the Vatican with 10 Hall of Famers. We had 18 with Robert Kraft and Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. I just got back from Denmark, where the entire nation celebrated Morten Andersen, who left as a high school exchange student for 10 months and came back 40 years later as the all-time leading scorer of the NFL. So it's kind of around the globe. We've got a billion-dollar project in Johnson Controls Hall of Fame Village that is being built around the Hall of Fame in time for the NFL Centennial, which will be September 17th of 2020. And we will celebrate, in particular, I'm sure, the two original teams that are left, which are the Chicago Bears and the Arizona Cardinals. And the Bears, by the way, have the most Hall of Famers in the Hall, 27. Brian Urlacher, if he's fortunate enough to get there, will be 28.
And I think everyone is hoping that it happens this year, but I think everyone understands that eventually he will make it. it, even if it's not this year. David Baker, the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, joining us here on Radio Row. How important is the Hall of Fame game to that weekend that you guys have every summer?
You know, it kicks off every NFL season. It is obviously a fifth preseason game.
Right.
And we know what that means. But last year, it had the highest rating in 7 years of any preseason game. And it's not just the game. It is a week of festivities. It's the gold jacket dinner where each of the Hall of Famers get their gold jacket. And, you know, it's a dinner for 4,800 people. It is the enshrinement itself, which is Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium and 23,000 people. The game, it's a parade that has, it's the fifth biggest parade in the United States for all of our Hall of Famers. But it is to really remember the values of these games. It's more than the worship of football heroes. It's that each of these guys at some point in their life, like Brian Urlacher, demonstrated courage and commitment and perseverance and the kind of things that we think this game teaches. And it's wonderful to come together. And frankly, they're the kind of values that our country needs right now.
Terrell Owens was walking around here yesterday, and he's obviously trying to get in on Saturday once again. And there's been a lot of talk about him, just some of the character issues. Maybe that's why, because he's the second leading receiver of all time. How much does that actually factor into what you guys talk about on Saturday?
You know, I think it factors into the, to each person's vote. I mean, Dan is going to treat that differently than Ira Kaufman from Tampa Bay.
Okay.
But each guy, we try to focus on what they did on the field. But I think, you know, what kind of teammate you are, what kind of leader you are, all of those things are really important. So in a guy like Brian Urlacher's case, it may not just be all stats. People know he was a great team leader, and he made other players better, like a guy like before him, like Mike Singletary. And so all of that factors into it. And again, what I would say to Terrell is that it's not easy. I mean, it is an exclusive, an elite club. And frankly, just being a finalist, you know, probably puts you in the top 1,000 players of all time. That itself is a great honor. And it doesn't happen automatically. You know, when I get to knock upon the doors, like I will Saturday at about 6 o'clock, every one of those guys cries. Now, Terrell may not, but I'll tell you, Jerry Jones did. He's got $6 billion. He's probably the P.T. Barnum of our time. He was going nuts. Kurt Warner, Morton Anderson, Brett Favre, one of my favorites, because on that day, it took 10 hours to select the guys, but it only took 10 seconds to select Brett Favre. He knew that I was going to be knocking on his door. But at the time when I told him that he was one of 302 best players of all time, he kind of put his hands in his pocket and hung his head in humility like a 10-year-old kid, because he knew how important this was. We then go over to the honor show and introduce him, and all of our Hall of Famers in the audience kind of spontaneously go up on the stage to welcome the guy into this elite fraternity. And afterwards we have a press conference, and Brett kind of sits next to me and he looked a little glazed, and this is Brett Favre. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he says, "Are you kidding? I just shook the hand of Roger Staubach." And I thought they may have known each other. And I said, "Didn't you guys know each other?" And he said, "Are you kidding? You don't understand. All my life I dreamed of being Roger Staubach." And then he paused for a second. You could see the reflection in his eye. And he said, "I guess now I'm on his team." Every one of these guys has a hero. And I guarantee you, for Terrell Owens, and he'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
But when he gets into that room with 140, 150 other living Hall of Famers in a thing that we call the Reinitsky Luncheon, which is only Hall of Famers, it will be powerful, I promise you.
Well, and something tells me he'll cry, too, when it does happen, because he once cried about his quarterback. Hey, you mentioned your size earlier. I was reading up on you, and you were a basketball player, though.
You know, about 150 pounds ago, and I should have played football. I've got a football mentality. Both my boys played football, and one played with the Atlanta Falcons for 8 years and was a three-time All-American at USC when they were winning 35 straight, and another son played some at Duke when they were losing 22 straight. But the great value of it is that we learned that both of them were learning the same great lessons that this game teaches.
And that's kind of what the Hall of Fame is all about, right, when it's all said and done?
We call it, it's more than the worship of football heroes. We call it the Church of Football. The huddle is a great place to learn inclusion, to learn respect, to learn commitment, to learn sacrifice. And frankly, there's no greater team that you're ever going to play on than your family. And those families become our communities, and our communities are our nation. And so we really really believe that while football's under attack on a lot of different levels right now, there are so many values that this game teaches that we think America needs it now more than ever.
All right, that was David Baker, the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, earlier this morning. As we keep it rolling here on Radio Row, Sports Central, WGN, and pleased to be joined by Lee Steinberg right now. They call you the super agent, right? That's the big thing. And of course, the Jerry Maguire connection that I'm sure everyone here at Radio Row has brought up with you. How's your day going?
Oh, it's great. You know, yesterday I did 29 interviews, and today I'm up over 15. So it's, you know, an ability to see old friends, clients. The Super Bowl's become a convention of Americana.
Yeah.
Politics, business, entertainment, all wrapped up in the place to be. So the general mantra is, if you think you see someone with high profile, it's probably him.
Yeah, I've had a lot of that around here at Radio Row. I'm like,
yes,
who is that guy? No, I know, because you see all these people out of context,
exactly.
Too. So, yeah, it's and you've had an interesting week. You represent Patrick Mahomes, and that was the big story. We had this big media party in the amusement park the other night, and all of a sudden the news breaks of the Alex Smith trade, and it was really entertaining actually watching the news get around. How much heads up do you get when something like that is happening? How's this week been like from that standpoint?
So let's say I was on the other side of it and Alex Smith was my client. Then you'd be very involved,
right?
Because no team was going to trade for Alex Smith unless they knew he'd do a contract extension. So the role of the agent, the role, the player had to buy off on it. He didn't have a right to refuse a trade, but as a practical matter, no team would have traded for him had he not agreed to extend his contract for more years. So he'd be very involved. On our side of it, we had a generalized sense that they were probably going to trade him. We thought it might be Cleveland, and we thought, because of John Dorsey, and we thought that it might occur closer to the draft. So I learned on television, Patrick learned from me, and I went back to my hotel, and he was a backup quarterback, and a half hour later, the Mahomes era had begun.
Very exciting. Now, the Bears' new head coach in Chicago, Matt Nagy, worked with Patrick Mahomes all year, along with Alex Smith. What was this year like for Patrick, learning as the backup, and can you say anything about what he was able to gather from Matt Nagy? Because the excitement in Chicago right now is what Nagy can do for Mitchell Trubisky, who, of course, was drafted in the first round like Patrick.
Well, I think he's totally equipped to do that because he was wonderful with Patrick. And the adjustment from the collegiate game to the pro game is immense. And Patrick was lucky enough to get a redshirt year, and he had Matt Nagy developing him, and he had Alex Smith being very gracious. So that taught him a lot about reading defenses, taught him about how to see the field. The whole thing is the ability to have the game slow down. So you've got a great coach coming there. It's the organization that wins in pro football. It's the quality of ownership, it's the management, and it's the quality of coaching. So they're taking him from Kansas City, which is year in and year out, a quality organization. So that's exactly the way to hire.
Lee Steinberg, the NFL agent who represents Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of other clients. Well, I want to bring up the running back situation in Green Bay with you because you have a couple of guys there. But first of all, you have some exciting things happening Saturday here. Your Super Bowl party is legendary. Over 30 years now, right?
So it's the 31st year, and we do philanthropic awards. So we have owners and general managers, directors of player personnel, coaches, retired players. So this year, Rick Spielman from the Vikings will get the executive award, and Andy Reid will get the coach award, and Eric Dickerson's getting an award as a former player, and Larry Fitzgerald Jr. is getting it for philanthropic things they do. And we also have a live hookup at the party between troops in the field in Afghanistan and the party itself. So they'll be able to join in and have fun. The last year had 5,000 of my closest friends. This year, I may have icicles and popsicles. I've never been this cold in my life. When I left Los Angeles, it was 80 degrees. It was below zero. I would say that that's probably a pretty good way to send someone into shock. But the hour before, we're focused once again on concussion and prevention, cure, and awareness. And we're doing a brain summit, a health summit, which will gather people from around the world to work on that issue. And then Sunday, I agreed to co-host the Sober Bowl, which will be an event prior to the game, during the game, after the game, with all the excitement and entertainment, but just no alcohol. So it's probably the only square footage in greater Minneapolis-St. Paul that won't be besotted with alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling you're correct on that one. Okay, so week four, I'm in Green Bay. The Bears are playing the Packers. And within a matter of, I mean, it could have been 10 plays. Two of the running backs go down. One of those guys was Aaron Jones, one of your clients. And then Jamal Williams came in. I think I have that correct. It was kind of hard to keep track of in my head as I was thinking back to that night. So you have Aaron Jones and you have Jamal Williams. And both of those guys, they get picked by the Packers drafted three running backs last year, which
is
weird.
Here's what doesn't make any sense. So we have two running backs. This year we have Ronald Jones from USC, who's going to be a high pick. But we have only two running backs, and there are 32 teams. So they get drafted in back-to-back rounds by the Packers. And all of a sudden, Ty Montgomery goes down. Aaron Jones gets his big chance. And then, as you observed, down goes Aaron and Jamal. So all of a sudden, Ty Montgomery will probably play wide receiver, and these are the two backs for the Packers for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, really, really cool. And we're also very familiar with Dan Vitale, who played at Northwestern. We have Northwestern on WGN Radio. He's kind of found a home in Cleveland.
He has. You know, first of all, on special teams, he's a madman.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely incredible that way. And then, you know, depending on the way they play, you know, he can do so many different things. His body is so athletic. He could line up as a fullback. He could line up as a running back. He could line up as a slot. He could line up as a tight end and do all those things. Plus, he's a wonderful person. He's went back to his high school. He'll eventually go back to Northwestern and establish a scholarship fund. So we look for those high-character, high-quality guys, and Danny Vitale's one.
Yeah, he's been a joy to work with over the few years. We're going to see him tomorrow here on Radio Row. So I can't wait. Hey, Lee, thanks so much. I know you've done a ton of interviews, and I appreciate you stopping by here for us.
It's been my pleasure.
All right, Lee Steinberg, the super agent, and if you don't know, the guy that the movie Jerry Maguire was based off of. So great to have him here on 720 WGN. Well, I mentioned that we have a very, very busy show today and plenty to get to. Most people love Kenny Mayne. I love Kenny Mayne. I don't know how you can't like Kenny Mayne. He is hilarious. He is a staple of ESPN, known for Sports Center and all those great Sports Center commercials. He stopped by a little bit earlier and was part of a great cause with the troops. So we had a really lengthy conversation with Kenny Mayne earlier, who, as you can imagine, was pretty entertaining. So we'll jump right into that right now as Sports Central continues with Kenny Mayne.
Hit it.
All right.
Are we taping?
We are taping right now.
That's not as good as live.
No.
Live's more dangerous. I think I said something really bad. I got to find those guys and make sure. I need to do some damage control.
You recognize the voice. It's Kenny Mayne from ESPN joining us now.
We got a cable cord. It goes to nowhere.
Well, so we connect via Ethernet. They gave us two. And
are we on like dial up?
Doesn't
work. Are we going to hear like?
This is new technology. Yeah.
All right. Whatever you guys are doing. What channel?
This is WGN Radio in Chicago.
That's a big deal. And there's a new Low T Center on the Miracle Mile.
That's what I was told. And you're here with Low T.
And Jacob Schick.
Jacob Schick is here with the 22Q. I'm sorry, Q. 22 Kill. And tell me a little bit about your program.
So 22 Kills Veteran Nonprofit that was started in 2012 to raise awareness to the suicide epidemic amongst the veteran community. And so We've been actually an established 501c3 since 2015, and now we are on the preventative side of the ball as well to do traditional and non-traditional therapy, and we're also serving first responders and law enforcement and their families as well.
You know, I met him to the flag football we play, veterans against ex-NFL, which is kind of another healthy, like,
yeah.
Have a great week for veterans. Go be normal. Go play football. Don't be.
He had a game last night, right?
Yeah, and it was as fun as it get. It was just great. We got one arm guys, no arm, no legged guys. We got
wheelchairs,
old wheelchair people. We got NFL vets who have their own issues, right? They've been through it, and it's not a night for anything more than let's just be together and do something fun and healthy and love each other. You know, like support each other.
That's very cool.
But we also have a relationship because he came up to my sister's foundation in Seattle. We lost my nephew, and Jacob was one of our speakers one year, where we're raising money to, same thing, we're trying to prevent suicide.
Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation.
It's called Permission to Start Dreaming. So they took PTSD and kind of turned it on his head, and we have a running race and a golf tournament and, you know, we all the normal things that you do to, you know, try to raise capital, and we put it into healthy things like horses, dogs, farming, mountain climbing, filmmaking, and give these veterans, hey, here's an outlet. Why don't you go try this? We're also trying to build a refuge. So some of these men and women, you ever see the movie, it wasn't American Sniper, it was the other one. It was, stay with me, I got it, Hurt Locker.
Yes.
When he comes back and that scene in the grocery store, and I'd never served, so I don't know what it's like.
Right.
But I know what they were trying to convey. The grocery store blew him away. All the cereal boxes. And he's like, I'd rather be back there. You know what I mean? Like,
it's easier.
We need to figure out how to make where they grew up normal and healthy and accepting. And so a bunch of us are just finding different ways.
Great cause. Jacob, you were introduced to me as a badass Marine. That was the direct quote.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
You might have gotten lied to, or didn't you?
No,
I've had my day. I'm a third generation combat Marine.
Okay.
My grandfather fought in Iwo, my uncle in Vietnam, and so I knew at 8 years old that's what I was going to do, and so I did it. And
very
then
cool.
Just had a rough day at work in Iraq in 2004, but you know, I got a trophy that I get to take on, put on and take off every night, as it being my prosthetic leg. It could be worse. I could be in a lot worse shape. I mean, hell, I could have not made it.
Yeah. And you're still playing in this game last night?
Yeah, we were. I'm primarily defense. Kenny usually plays offense. He struggled a little bit behind the center there for a few. But you warmed up.
You were the quarterback.
Warmed up.
I had people drop touchdowns is what he means.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
You know what? I won't take that criticism sitting down.
Hey, you know, in Chicago, we know all about bad quarterback plays.
Uh-oh. Shots fired.
You know what? If he thinks I play poorly, I'll try to play better next time. I thought I had a good night. My best thing for me, selfish personally, I got a ruined ankle and I got to wear this new brace I have and I could run pain free.
What's it called again?
It is called an exosim. Doesn't matter what it's called. It's magic is what it is. You stick it on and you don't hurt anymore. So this man developed it for soldiers out near Seattle, a place called Gig Harbor. And we're got 501c3s falling out of the sky right now. Gretchen and I are starting our own foundation and we're going to raise money and give these away. So I'm going to need one of those, by the way.
Going to need one for the lefty.
You qualified.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what, he did look a lot better running.
And zero pain. Because previously, I'd wear that other clunky brace, or sometimes I go barefoot, or, you know, out there limping around. Now, I have the courage to just go do what I used to get to do.
So you have that and low T center, and you can live forever.
Probably.
Yeah, and then the holy water, you can't forget that.
I'm really offended that you criticize. I think I had like a night. Might have been a 156.
Dude, are your feelings hurt right now?
Yes.
Do you want to hug it out?
No. You need to watch the game closer.
Watch the tape.
Yeah. Hey, we'll go back.
Don't lie.
Where did you guys play? Where did this game happen?
We played Seafoam Dome.
He says I sucked last night.
He did. I didn't say he sucked. Said he had a moment. He had a couple moments of cloudiness.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's, you know why? People are too lazy to come back and huddle. I'm like, we don't exactly have a sophisticated offense where everybody knows signals.
That's true. Yeah.
So when they don't come back and huddle, I have no idea what play they're like. Hey, good luck, everybody. I'll see if you're open.
Yeah. Sounds like the Bears offense.
It's a rough day for the Bears.
You're crushing your Bears.
I know. I have to. Kenny, you're out You're on LA right now, right?
Walter Payton.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the days.
You know, legend. You know who my co-host is on WGN? He's not here right now. He'll be here later today, Jared Payton.
I love Jared.
He's coming.
Oh, really?
Hours.
Right on. Wish him well.
Yeah.
I met him a few years back. Always liked him.
Yeah, and they got the Man of the Year thing going on this weekend, which is a huge award. So you're out in LA now, right?
No. My new deal is back in Connecticut.
Oh.
I was doing LA, you're correct, but about 6 months ago, they switched me. They wanted more shows. So I live in Seattle part of the time, Connecticut part of the time, and I just keep going back. I got a daughter in high school in Seattle.
Okay.
I got a wife and her kids in Connecticut. I'm always home.
All great people, like by the way.
Which was better, Connecticut or LA? Seattle.
Every state has its great attributes.
Okay.
Well played on that one. That was so politically correct, it's disgusting.
I like the West, man. I'm from the West.
Okay. Have you spent time in Chicago?
I like Chicago.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Although I don't love trying to change planes there.
Oh, yeah. O'Hare is the worst.
Not a fun deal.
No.
I saw Pearl Jam in Chicago. I saw Election Night 2008 in Chicago. Seen a bunch of good stuff in Chicago.
Election night 2008 is one of the probably most famous nights in Chicago history.
Absolutely. We were there at the park. Grant. I'm sorry. LA has Griffin. And my story that night, our pretend football story, was that Obama's intern was in charge of the fantasy football. Like, you know, they had a fantasy football league within the politicians. And he had made that night be their supplemental draft night.
Okay.
So that was the premise of there was kind of something more important going on, but the kid is trying to get, all right, who are you taking second round? Come on, Keller, who do you got? You know?
Yeah.
It sort of made sense.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys being here. It's a great cause. You guys still do SportsCenter commercials?
They stopped doing the kind you're talking about.
Okay.
I'm trying to bring them back. Yeah.
We should just get a bunch of the Warriors to do it.
I just worked here.
Yeah, I'm pitching
ideas. I actually just started a new job in addition to what I do, where I'm now working for the commercial making department at ESPN.
Oh.
So hopefully they listen to an idea or two and we bring those back.
That would be great.
I got a solid one for Stephen A. Smith ready to go.
Can you share it?
No.
Okay.
Because I'd rather sell it on the outside and actually make money.
Fair enough.
You probably should edit that part out.
All right.
Hey, what's wrong with that? It's America. Are you not going to sell commercials? Is Joe Montana not selling ankle cream or something? Like,
it's capitalism.
Yeah.
I like to talk about these futon mats you put under your bed, and it cures the back pain that I have from 23 years in the NFL. Right? Everybody's selling something.
Oh, yeah.
Low T.
Hey, you sit here at Radio Row all week. I've learned more about more companies this week.
Well,
I bet.
If I sat at home watching television.
I bet.
Appreciate what Low T, you know, having me come in and do this for them, but I much more appreciate what Jake's doing helping soldiers, and now what Gretchen and I are going to try to do, what my sister's doing. And there's, like, this thing that's so simple. It's north of Seattle, this place called Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
Veterans are farming together. That's all they're doing. They show up and they farm, and it's, okay, well, that they're talking to each other. Sometimes they take a break, you know, hey, let's go take a walk. Let's talk, you know, and the whole thing is communication, like understanding. I can't understand what he went through. I never asked him once about his incident. And if you ever want to tell me, you can tell me. But it's not mine to know. I just know here he is. But I don't stare at his leg. Like, you know, we know each other, looking at each other's eyes. So I think most people recognize pretty quickly who's genuine and who's not.
Do you mind talking about that at times when people ask, or is it?
No, man. I mean, because Kenny's right. It's all about the communication. I mean, the first speaking gig I ever did was in Tyler, Texas, at a place called Hideaway Lake. And my grandmother said, I want you to come speak at my Rotary Club, which meant you're coming to speak at my Rotary Club. And I didn't know why she wanted me to do that. And I was like 50 years the junior in the room. And I told the story, and I walked out of the back of the clubhouse, and my soul felt a little bit lighter. And I was like, oh, that's why she wanted me to do that. And then, but Kenny's right. I mean, you can find therapy in anything. The farming thing's huge.
Yeah.
You can find therapy in anything. It is just getting them to get together, get out of their comfort zone a little bit, because that's where we all grow, and then develop that camaraderie again, and to be find your tribe, lean in, love them hard.
That's great cause. Appreciate you guys. Are you guys hungry? hungry, by the way. I just had, do you know who Jeff Morrow is from the Food Network?
Yes.
He was just here.
He dropped
over wine. Are you guys, you, I mean, I'm not drinking wine on the job, but
I'm not a drinker.
Yeah. I've been dry since November 13th.
Oh.
True story.
Oh. I don't like alcohol. I drink a glass of wine with Gretchen occasionally, but I'm down on alcohol.
Yeah. That's probably, I mean.
Bad drug.
I can't say the same. I'm sorry.
But, that's all right. Yeah. I don't have a problem with people socially, you know, like whatever. But I'm around drunks way too much, and it turns me off. I just don't drink. It doesn't do much for me.
Okay.
In fact, it does nothing for me, so I don't drink.
I've heard that that's good for your health. So
it's the word on the street.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what they say. I don't listen, but that's what they say.
And they
you
know
might as well drink it then.
Yeah.
They know everything.
All right.
Low T up in here.
And on Michigan Avenue now, too. Low T.
The Miracle Mile.
All right.
Is that what it's called?
Right across the street from WGN.
How about that?
I don't know if it's right across the street, but we're on the Magnificent Mile, so it must be.
I can tell you about the Pearl Jam show at Wrigley, and why are you making us leave? What? I'm done. This is my last interview. I'm filibustering. So it's Thunderstorm, Lightning Bolt Tour. We drove down from Cincinnati. We were shooting the National Cornhole Championship. I'm not making that up. And it was epic. It was really cool. Learned how to play, too. I never knew how to play before that day. Go to see Pearl Jam. Thunderstorm happens. They make us evacuate Wrigley.
Oh, I remember. I wasn't there, but I remember that happening.
Yeah. We end up leaving because the cops saying, dude, they're not coming back. Like, there's a curfew, for one, and it's never, the rain ain't stopping, and it's bad. Driving in a taxi, I see Pearl Jam's Twitter says, guys, hang in there. We're trying to come back. You know, we can't control. I get in another taxi. I go back. They come back on the stage. They play till 2 a.m. It's legendary Chicago Pearl Jam lore.
Yeah.
And they're playing two dates in August in Seattle.
Well, look, Eddie Vedder basically owns Wrigley Field. So he doesn't care about Chicago politics and the curfew in Wrigleyville.
He ran right over that. Hey, you guys won the World Series. Good job.
Yeah. Thanks. Kenny Mayne, Jacob Schick. Appreciate you guys being here.
Appreciate you.
Have a great day. All right, there they were, Kenny Mayne with his buddy Jacob Schick, who's working with a great cause, 22kill.com. And that was a lot of fun talking to those guys. Well, still plenty more to get to. Chicagoan Jeff Morrow, the Food Network chef. You seen him there. He has a restaurant in Chicago. He's a Bears fan, Chicago fan. He's actually a White Sox fan, but his food is inside Wrigley Field. He stopped by earlier. You heard
That's
me mention
up,
it
White
in
Sox
the interview.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, as he's telling me about Wrigley Field, that he was going to be a Cubs fan, but then he made it clear that he's a Sox fan.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I was a little surprised you didn't get after Kenny Mayne a little bit with the, hey, good job, guys. You guys won the World Series. Hey, we're not all Cubs fans, man. Okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. I should have there at the end. I was trying to get out at that point, but you're right. I should have. No, that's fair. I should have called him out on that. All right. Here's the interview with Jeff Morrow, who is here and brought a bunch of food, and we had a good time. It's definitely an entertaining conversation. So here is Jeff Morrow. Joining us now on Sports Central on WGN is Jeff Morrow, the Emmy-nominated celebrity chef for the Food Network.
Woo.
What's it been like here for you so far?
It's been wild, man. I mean, we are literally in this radio row, and if you guys don't know what this looks like, I mean, it is. I'm 6'2", 200-something pounds, and I'm really tiny here. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's
awesome. People are smushed in here, and there's athletes and celebrities and just a whole bunch of buzz around here. I mean, this is definitely a bucket list.
2 days
checked off.
2 days ago, I was like, it's not so bad. And then yesterday, it started getting crowded. And then this morning, it's just crazy.
And then there's people just everywhere. There's people everywhere. It's really exciting to be here.
What are you doing here?
I'm here partnering up with Yellowtail Wines, and we got a food truck, and I brought you some food from my famous restaurant in Chicago and here in Minneapolis, Pork and Mindy's. So we got some of our signature sandwiches and our pig candy, which obviously pair well with this delicious wine we brought you too. So a couple bottles of Yellowtail for you to help wash down the crowds.
I'm going to need that about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I know exactly. You'll definitely appreciate it at 3 o'clock when you should be having coffee. Have the wine instead. But yeah, so we've the truck's been to 8 different cities, and it's kind of, this was the culmination of the whole big road trip, giving, you know, handing Yellowtail and the sandwiches out. It's right here at the Super Bowl, so we'll be all around Minneapolis.
I saw the truck when I pulled up here this
morning.
Did you?
Where did you get some from it, or you just get?
No, I just thought it was sitting out there.
Right by
and yeah, this morning it was like what 3 degrees, and
it was negative one when I got here.
Okay, so I parked and I ran inside.
Yeah, but, so it's definitely it's chilly, but you know it gives people a good appetite.
So you're from Chicago.
Yes.
You're a Bears fan.
I'm a Bears fan. So you know it would have been nice to be in the Super Bowl, I guess. But
yeah,
who needs
maybe
it?
Maybe someday.
Someday. We're used to it by now, right? We have a couple other good sports teams. Yeah. I guess we can count on in the meantime.
Your restaurant, Pork and Mindy's.
Yeah.
You have a location here.
Yeah, we do. We have one in Minneapolis that we opened several months ago in a food hall called Elevate Food Hall, which is in the corner of Washington and 2nd. And of course, in Chicago, we have 1623 North Milwaukee in the heart of Bucktown, Wicker Park. We have one in the Loop at 55 Wabash. And we have one opening on the corner of Wacker and Wells in the next couple weeks, too, at another food hall. And, of course, at Wrigley Field in the famous bleachers. So next, when our Cubs win another one next year, you can enjoy Pork and Mindy's.
That's pretty cool to have one at Wrigley.
It really is wild. I mean, I was at Wrigley more, and I grew up as a Sox fan.
Okay.
You know, my family.
I'm a Sox fan, too, so.
So I don't hate the Cubs, but I was always, you know, I chose a side at a young age, and that side was chosen for me by my family, and then
me
you stick
too.
With it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, you know, as a kid, but now it's like, now I got to a restaurant in Wrigley. I support the Cubs wholeheartedly in that organization.
Yeah.
But it's great, man. It's so iconic. I went to so many games last year, and it's just such a great place to connect with people and serve, you know, watch them chew.
And you grew up in Elmwood Park, right?
Yeah, so I was in the city, and then River Forest, and then Elmwood Park, and now I'm back in River Forest. So same square mile my whole life, essentially. I can't leave, right?
Yeah.
I always got to be within a stone's throw from Johnny's Beef. So that's my prerequisite for my real estate picks.
Well, I could tell the Chicago accent, so
yeah,
I'm digging that.
Well, you know, I'm here. I'm on WGN, so it got infinitely thicker.
Yeah. You got to extend. Okay, what kind of food do we have here?
So I brought you our pig candy, which is, you know, Ooh. Available at all our locations and on the Yellowtail food truck. Pig candy BLT with barbecue mayo on there, lettuce, tomato, and the pig candy on a brioche.
All right.
So, you know.
I'm starving right now.
We got to. Oh, are you really? Oh. You haven't eaten all day. I know.
I got here, and I immediately started doing interviews. I didn't eat breakfast. What's that? I'm going to save the wine for later. I got a long day, but I appreciate it.
If you start getting after it now, you know, slippery slope.
Right.
We don't want to get anybody fired here, but
I can
just
taste it, but I don't want to really open the bottle and everything.
No, it is excellent.
Yeah.
It goes great, and that Chardonnay pairs really well with that pig candy there. So
that's what you call it?
That's pig candy, brother. Yep.
Yep. I mean, it tastes like candy.
It does. Well, and pig.
That's the part.
It's good for you. It's all mostly right. protein.
She's making me try the wine. So
yeah,
I'll
you
do.
Here we go. No. This is a you know, occupational hazard.
Now, do you have to try this all day as you do it?
No, yes, I do.
That's where
it is
get really dangerous.
Well, you know, one has to control themselves a little bit more than usual when you're surrounded by delicious wine and bacon, right?
Yep.
It's a long week ahead of here. I got in yesterday from Chicago after, you know, two broken planes finally made it here.
No.
I could have drove here way quicker.
Faster, yep.
Did you drive here?
No, I flew, but, you know, I had a 7.5 hour delay last month trying to get here for a separate trip.
It's so frustrating.
It's the worst.
I flew to Springfield once, like a jamoke, and I swear it took me like 12 hours to get to Springfield. I don't know why I flew there.
Yeah, that was not.
And then I ended up driving back. Actually, I rented a car. I was like a dumb.
How far is that drive? It can't be more than like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 hours.
Okay.
If it's like 3 hours, is a cutoff. I don't. Even the car rides can be relaxed.
Are you going to the game?
I am not going to the game. I have too much stuff to do at home. But I am here. I've had a fantastic evening last night. I'm here all day. So talking. I'm getting the full experience without, you know.
You must spend a lot of time up here if you got a restaurant.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I'm here a couple times a year.
Okay.
So it's a great food town, too.
Yeah.
People don't know.
I got family up here. I love coming up here.
It's great.
I
got to eat at a nice dinner with Andrew Zimmer from, if you know, he's a host of Bizarre Foods. He's a local, you know, he's like pretty much the mayor of Minneapolis. So we went to some crazy Cantonese Chinese place that was eating oysters. covers the size of hubcaps.
Oh, that sounds good.
You know, with him, you're always getting into something a little nutty, a little outside the orange chicken, you know.
What do you think about the new Bears head coach? Have you had any time to kind of think about it?
Not much, though. You know, I'm going to see. You know, the proof is in the pudding this year. We'll, you know, I'm always cautiously optimistic, I think, with the Chicago Bears.
At some point, they got to turn it around.
I think this is the turnaround.
The White Sox, too. They're on their way.
They're on their way. I think it's going to be, I think we're going to have the best sports city in 4.5 years.
I like that.
Is that fair? I mean, I'm not a big, you know, I don't crunch numbers, but I'm saying 4.5 years.
4.5 years?
Yeah. Not even five.
The Cubs will still be good. The White Sox will be good.
Do you think the Cubs will win again in our lifetime or with this team?
I think with this group, they'll get one more.
Okay.
But not more than one more. I think they'll manage to get one more out of this. They're so young still.
They are still young. Yeah. And you know what? For us, from a business standpoint, I really want them.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I understand it.
It's like an extra how many games that we could sell food at and pig candy.
We have the Blackhawks on WGN. So,
yeah, you're...
you know, it's not a secret that when they go out in the first round with a sweep to Nashville last year, we don't like that.
It's all about that bacon, isn't it? You got to make that bacon,
baby. Speaking of bacon, I'm loving this. This is great. This is great. Jeff Morrow, you got The Kitchen, The Sandwich King.
Yeah.
You're all over TV on Food Network.
Watch me. 10 a.m. On Food Network. Every Saturday morning, new episodes. You can see me yuck it up and represent Chicago. See, people are waving at me over here. They're not just looking for...
They know you. They don't know
Hall
me.
Hall of Fame athletes. You know, they know me, man. I'm worldwide, baby. That was one person waving.
What's the coolest
me.
Celebrity you've seen this morning? Have you seen any yet?
I saw Adam Richman, you know, from Mamber's Food, who's another fellow friend. Okay. He gave me a kiss on the cheek. I had no idea. All I did was feel a beard on my temple.
Okay.
So that was fun. I haven't really... I mean, I'm so locked in. I'm so focused on it.
Yeah, I know. It gets busy.
It's starting to, like, people are walking by right now.
Yeah.
Oh, there's... I saw Tom Brady next to me in the urinal. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, I was gonna... What's he doing there? Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No. Okay. You know what? I used to, but it gives me anxiety, doesn't it? It's too much. I need somebody to win. You know what I mean? The guy can never win.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, the reason
point.
I brought that up, though, was because Leon from that show,
yeah.
I saw him on Monday night.
Did you really?
So that was like,
that was the
celebrity moment for me this week.
Who else?
And then
besides
you.
Athletes.
And then you.
And then me, of course, right?
Sorry, but Leon
Let
from
down.
Curb, I...
Yeah. Leon from Curb, he's funny.
He's hilarious. J.B. Smoove.
J.B. Smoove, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a funny kid.
I just call him Leon.
Who's
which he probably doesn't like, but
hey, man.
You know, that's what
he's working.
Like.
More people recognize him means he's working, man, right?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
This
food looks great. And
I'll see you back home, huh?
Absolutely.
Nice, beautiful winter February weather.
Bring my wife to Pork and Mindy's.
Please do. Hey, listen, I'll give you 5% off. How about that?
Okay,
that's
it.
A guarantee.
I'll take it. How about six?
Off the top, not off the buy. Can't do this. Is pre-taxes, obviously.
Fair enough.
Fine, six?
Six.
Pre-taxes.
Fair enough.
Or you could take three posts after taxes.
Okay.
It's up to you, man.
I'll think about mine. Jeff Morrow. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Have fun.
Awesome.
Jeff Morrow from Pork and Mindy's and the Food Network. Go check out his restaurant. I haven't been there. Joe, have you ever been there?
I have not, but I was really glad that he mentioned Johnny's Beef. That's the best Italian beef in or around the city, no doubt about
it. Yeah, I've heard that. I've never had it, but I've heard it. I'm an Al's Beef guy.
Oh, this blows Al's Beef out of the water.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to try that. Joe Romano, our producer. Maybe we'll go on a show trip, our first Sports Central show trip together.
Remote. Now we're talking. Yes.
Yeah, there we go. See, I should ask Jeff about that while he was here. Hey, speaking of food, Kyle Rudolph, the former Notre Dame tight end, now with the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, he's a Pro Bowler, one of the better tight ends in all the league. He was around here today with TGI Fridays, and we started that conversation by just talking about ribs, because why not? It's all about food today.
TGI Fridays, I'm telling you, if you want to be the MVP, you know, the most valuable partier at your Super Bowl party on Sunday night, you got to show up with a box of these big ribs. I mean, they are phenomenal. You can't beat them.
And so that's the best way, just cater in TGI
Absolutely.
Fridays on,
yeah. Oh,
on
yeah.
Sunday?
Cater the carry out, go, you know, pick up the big ribs, get your box, show up to the party, you'll be the hero.
Yeah, and they got I'll tweet this box out. They just come right in a giant big box with big ribs in it.
Perfect. Big ribs for the big game.
Hey, man, what's this week been like for you? Because it's certainly bittersweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question.
We were able to kind of get away from it a little bit last week. I was fortunate enough to go down to the Pro Bowl in Orlando and landing back here in Minnesota on Monday. And, you know, when we left, obviously, some stuff was set up for the Super Bowl, but not like coming back on Monday and seeing all of the gear and swag and the tape, paper trail, everything with decorating downtown. So it was a little salt in the wound, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just being honest, it's a little awkward, right? I mean,
obviously, you know, we'd all rather be, I'd be rather at, Winter Park getting ready, sitting in my own locker, using our own facility. But, you can't let that one game take away from the great season that we had. And I mentioned this earlier, if the Super Bowl was anywhere but here in Minneapolis, you come back home, go to the Super Bowl late in the week, Thursday, whenever, and it'd be a normal deal. But since it's here and it's at home and we were so close to being the first team to play in our own Super Bowl, just it stings a little bit more.
Yeah. What was the Pro Bowl like for you last week?
It was awesome. It's a great experience. I'm fortunate to play in my second one, and, you have an opportunity to go down there. Obviously, every player that's at the Pro Bowl, his season didn't end the way that he would have liked. And you still have an opportunity to celebrate a great year. If you're playing in the Pro Bowl, that means you've had a great season, and it gives you an opportunity to get to know guys both on and off the field.
And you mentioned a couple times, can't really take away all the success that you guys had.
Yeah.
And certainly the ending to that New Orleans Saints game a few weeks ago, which was just incredible for any football fan watching that. What was that like? The emotions. You're probably, you're playing still, so you're probably not thinking, oh, this game's over.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you could have expected that to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. Obviously in that situation, we hoped, can we get a chunk of yards here and have a chance to kick a field goal, win the game? We called a play that we felt really good about, and I thought would give us a chance to get in field goal range. I never envisioned it would end the way it did. Obviously, with Diggs having the wherewithal to keep his balance and turn and run for a touchdown was incredible. Like I said, I was like, oh my God, he caught it, get out of bounds, let's kick this field goal and get out of here. And then for him to turn and run and score was awesome.
You play the Bears twice a year. That's obviously our team in Chicago. Going up against that defense last couple of years,
They're good.
How much have you seen improvement from that unit?
Yeah, they're good. I think one of the guys that is one of the most underrated players in this league and doesn't get enough credit for what he does is the guy that I go against down in and down out, and that's Pernell McPhee. He's just a monster. You have the other guys, Leonard Floyd, Willie Young in the front. The guys that I'm going against each and every play, they're beasts. They're good players. And then, you guys added a couple young safeties, and they're really talented. They'll be good players. And that defense is a lot better than the defenses of the past. And, you look at the success that defense had, unfortunately it was overshadowed by, a mediocre record. But, that was a top 10 defense in this league, and they played really good.
Well, they just hired an offensive head coach. They got a young quarterback. I think the Bears, like the Lions, are within the division trying to, take a push forward. How tough is this NFC North right now?
Oh, in my opinion, it's the toughest division in football. Obviously, everyone knows that you have to deal with Green Bay as long as Aaron's there. And then you guys in Chicago have a great young roster. And like you said, you added a new coach. Detroit, anytime you got Matthew Stafford, you got a chance. And that guy is, obviously he's one of the highest paid players in our game for a reason. And I feel like every time we play him, he's just slinging it around. And, they'll get better. And, they'll bring in presumably a defensive head coach and, get that defense squared away and get Matthew a little help.
Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph with us here. And, of course, played at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Little connection to Chicago there. Chicago kind of claims Notre Dame. But
absolutely.
It's really
the Subway alumni.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
What is the mindset for you guys this offseason? You still got a young team.
Yeah.
Unbelievable defense. Obviously, the quarterback position is the big question.
Yeah.
But we're so close this year. I know you guys feel like you keep building on it.
Yeah, we feel like we have a foundation that will allow us to be good for time in the future. And, I can just think back to 2009, when the Vikings lost in the NFC Championship game, bringing in Brett. They had a very veteran team. That was kind of their one chance to make a run. And, obviously since 2009, we've had to rebuild to the team that we've built the foundation now. And, you know, this team is built to have success for years to come. You know, obviously a couple question marks with the offensive coordinator, the quarterback, but, you know, you look at that defense and all the young players that they have over there, and, you know, we have playmakers in the skill positions on offense, a much better offensive line. So, you know, we're excited for the future, and, you know, having that taste of success in the playoff and getting so close will just fuel all our guys.
What's it like playing for Mike Zimmer? I know of Fadi Odenebo a little bit, who was on your practice squad this year. You played at Northwestern, and I ran into him during the season. He was just raving about just playing for Zim, and the way you guys practice, things like that. It's just, he said it's a really just a good atmosphere.
Yeah, Zim's one of the best coaches I've ever played for, and, you know, he's one of those guys that you would run through a wall for, and, you know, you run through the wall not because he's telling you to, but, you know, if he's telling you to do it, there's clearly a reason, and there's something on the other side that we need to get to. And, you know, a lot of times you have coaches that do stuff, and when you ask them why we're doing it, it's just because that's the way it's always been done. To where Zim, like, we do stuff because it's going to help us win football games. There's a reason why we do everything that we do.
There's Kyle Rudolph, the Pro Bowl tight end from up here in Minnesota. Of course, the Vikings, and his given the Bears plenty of headaches over the last few years, but some very nice things to say about the Bears defense, which I think we can all agree is headed in the right direction, and appreciate Kyle Rudolph showing up here. You know, it's been a very interesting week for the Vikings. Stephon Diggs has been around here, but I'm telling you, it is weird that they have to host this game now. Everyone talked about, oh, they're going to be the first team that gets to play in their own stadium in the Super Bowl. I'm assuming they're the first team that now has to host the Super Bowl right after losing in the championship round, and that's kind of created this awkwardness, not only with I think some of their players that are around here, but also the fans that are probably not as enthusiastic as they would have been, as I, of course, hear fans cheering right behind me, but they look like they're Eagles fans or something, because those guys have invaded here as well. Hey, Jay Glazer's coming up. Jay Glazer, of course, you know him from Fox Sports, but he also happens to be pretty close with John Fox, so I'm going to ask him a few questions about what John Fox has been up to in the last month and his future as a coach. There's one thing I going back to the Hall of Fame and Brian Urlacher, circling back to the start of our show, I mentioned how fans, I think, need to kind of prepare themselves for the possibility that he might not actually get in this year. But a former Viking, Matt Burke, who played center with the Vikings for a long time, about a decade ago, and faced Brian Urlacher many times, Lance Briggs as well, certainly knows what it was like to go up against Urlacher. Had a conversation with him yesterday and just asked him what that was like facing number 54.
You know, he was a fun guy to play against, and I say fun because obviously competed his butt off, played hard, and was a great player, but it never got personal, and there'd be times, too, like if you got him on a play, like, oh, man, you know, yeah, you got me. He's like, oh, I'm going to get yelled at for that. You know, never took the game too seriously, and so I always appreciated his even though he was a fierce competitor, you know, kind of never lost sight of the you know, the fun part of football. I mean, it's fun to play against guys like that, you know, where you're both out there, you're trying to knock each other's head off, but you're not hoping to kill the other guy. And so you know, Brian, they used to when it's him and Briggs, I mean, when they were in their prime, that was a formidable linebacking core.
So I specifically remember those double A gap blitzes.
Yes.
What are you thinking there? You're the center, and you see those two guys standing right over each one of your shoulders.
Yeah, it's like, well, which one should I take? This all pro or this all pro?
Yeah.
You know, there were no good decisions. But they were, no, it was great. I mean, growing up a Vikings fan, you know, I mean, Packers, Bears, and Lions, the history of the old Norris division, you know, it was fun to be a part of that for a long time, and fun to play against those great Bear defenses.
You can tell that it's been kind of crazy around here the last couple days. That was actually recorded yesterday. Man, it's even crazier today. But a lot of fun here at the Mall of America. Sports Central rolls on. Expecting to talk to Jay Glazer here momentarily from Fox Sports. And he's also doing some new stuff with the MMA. We're skipping buried headlines today. But there is one headline that I did want to mention that I really liked seeing this morning. And that is that Major League Baseball has now announced that every single stadium will extend the netting down to the end of the dugouts. And, Joe, this is something that I think you know that I've been harping on for years now. I mean, it must go back at least 5 years where it's just such a no-brainer that the netting should be down the line farther than it has been. Some teams, including the White Sox and Cubs, extended it to the front, like the starting point of the dugouts. But, you know, here in Minnesota, actually, at Target Field, a couple years ago, they put the netting down to the end of the dugout. Now, it's a little bit lower, and so it doesn't go as high up in the air, but it still protects those shots that go right down the line. And that sometimes skip off the dugout and hit fans, and those are really the most dangerous ones. So it's great to see that baseball has finally pressured these teams enough to extend the netting. I understand the pushback to a certain extent. Season ticket holders, people that, I mean, these are the seats that are right there close to the action, and those fans that pay that much money do not want their view obstructed. But the reality is that the view is not obstructed that much by netting. And I'm not just saying that. My family had season tickets for the White Sox for a long, long time, right behind home plate. The seats that have been behind the netting for a long, long time. And you get used to it right away. I mean, when you sit down at your seat, you're like, oh, there's netting. By the time the game starts, you're not even thinking about it. You get used to it. And, you know, that complaint is not worth what we've seen over the years with foul balls and bats that go screaming into the crowd and hurt people. And not just adults, but Joe, how many little kids have we seen over the last few years get hit in the face?
Too many.
And I thought that this, and I've said this on the air, and I hate saying it. I'm glad I don't have to say it anymore. But I really felt like, and I'm glad I'm wrong on this, I really felt like it was going to take someone dying before they made the switch, because that's what happened in hockey.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the kids. I think that's the number one reason, but a second reason is smartphones, man. I mean, you go to a baseball game now, and especially with that sport, that you look around the park, everybody is on their phone, and it just takes one quick second. I mean, those are some screamers that go into the, you know, and it doesn't even have to be right behind home plate. It can be behind first base. I was at a game where Jeter hit one, you know, almost halfway down the line, and it put somebody in the hospital. I mean, you have to pay attention, and, you know, when smartphones are in your pocket, it's tough to do that for an entire game.
You know what's funny about that? Every single person seems to have a story about someone they know getting hit by a foul ball, whether it's them or someone they know. And I've seen it in person. I was sitting farther down the line at a White Sox game years back when Alexi Ramirez hit one, and it actually bounced off the dirt there. So it wasn't even, it actually hit something first, but it was still traveling at such a high rate of speed that it hit someone in the front row, right in front of me. I was sitting in the second row, and it hit this poor lady right in front of me, and it was scary. And that was farther down the line where even the netting won't be now. So I'm just happy that this will at least help, and I promise you, a year from now, 2 years from now, we will not be having a conversation about fans complaining about the netting. It's just not something that's going to be a problem. So I wanted to bring that to you here before we got out of here. But Jay Glazer is here sitting down with us right now as we keep the line moving. And we are over our allotted time. But who cares? This is the great thing about being able to do the show in the format that we are doing. Yeah, Jay, go ahead, sit down right here. This is WGN in Chicago. All these people are going by. What's going on, Jay?
Oh, how you doing, man?
I usually see you like once a year in Bourbonnais.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, your thoughts on Bourbonnais.
I know. I got my little bar over there, which I love. Yeah. I love Bourbonnais. You know what? I love people, you know, I've been doing this now since 93, and I've been doing it on a national level since 99. And as you kind of, you know, do more and more in your career, as I start going around, people in the league start saying to me, why are you still coming out here? You're still coming like these training camp tours. And I'm like, why would I not? You guys are my family and social structure and friends for the last 25 years of my life, but I still got to try and outwork the world. The only way to do that is just boots on the ground.
Well, it's a great way in a kind of more casual atmosphere to talk to people and get to know things before the season. Hey, you keep doing more and more stuff with MMA, and now you're joining Bellator, right?
Yeah, Bellator, which, look, I've... It's great. I've got four F's in my life, if you will. It's football, fighting, family, and faith. And thank God I get to merge them all together now. And you know, I was the first host of a national MMA show in America when I did the Pride Fighting Championships. And then from there did Strikeforce and Elite XC, and then UFC, and now Bellator. And Bellator is doing something which Pride, it's kind of coming full circle, used to do back in the day where they're having these, you know, this heavyweight Grand Prix. So you have guys from all walks of life, and they're in one tournament together, and it's kind of like how it was back in the old days, which I just love, but just being part of the Bellator family. So now I'm the new host of Bellator on Paramount Network. Next fight is a Mohegan Sun. We're having a fight in Chicago coming up also.
There it is, April 28th, Allstate Arena.
Right, Frank Mir against Fedor Emelianenko, two of the most legendary heavyweights and fighters of all time, so they're going to be out there, but it's great. For me to be part of the Bellator family, and I still look up like every second of my life. I'm sitting out here with you, and I'm waiting to get woken up. I'm still in fifth grade, and my mom's waking me up, and none of this has happened.
Yeah.
There's not a minute goes past my life where I don't say, thank you, God Almighty. I can't believe this is my life.
Well, and you mentioned all the friends you've made over the years. Mm-hmm. I know one of them is John Fox.
Mm-hmm. I saw him today, yep.
Is he around here?
Yeah, he's down here. He's over here, too. He's over here somewhere. Not in here, but he was here earlier today, yep. So him and then Kyle Long, you know, we've trained him. So we're talking about this whole, you know, the MMA part of it also.
Yeah.
Kyle just had a surgery, but he's caused me a couple surgeries. And 2 years ago,
it doesn't surprise me.
2 years ago, he like jumps on my back as like I turn around. I've known him since he was nine, so he still kind of looks at me like I'm Uncle Glaze. Jumps on my back, blows out my L4, L5, S1. I go in for surgery. Both my lungs aspirate. I'm in critical care.
Oh my God.
All these tubes in me and masks on, and he FaceTimes me. He's like, hey, dude. Are we training or what? Like, what's the deal here? I'm like, Kyle, I'm in critical care right now. And he goes, well, how long is that going to last? I'm like, hey, sorry that my near-death experience is cramping your training style. But no, I mean, the great thing about us at Fox is we are, like, we're a family. I've known him and Chris for forever. Me, Howie, Terry, Jimmy, Stray, and Kurt, it's it'll never happen in television ever again when you have a relationship like we do over at Fox, and now we got Thursday Night Football too. It's great.
Yeah. Do you think John Fox will coach again?
I don't know. I mean, he's gotten some offers to be like senior defensive assistants, things like that.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if he's going to kind of jump into the media side of it. He's kind of mulling some offers, whether or not he wants to coach. So I don't think the coaching bug is not out of him yet. I'm trying to say, hey, come to the media side. This is fun. You don't have the same, you know, you don't have the same hours as you guys do over in coaching. But look, Foxy, I know things didn't go well in, you know, Chicago the last couple of years, but what he's done in his career to take all those different teams to Super Bowls with the rosters they've had, he is, I hope fans, all fans, I'm not saying this because he's my friend, I just appreciate when people are good at what they do in any profession. And he was, to go to Super Bowl with Jake Delhomme and, you know, those guys, to be able to get the most out of the guys like Strahan when he went over to the Giants, and then even, you know, what he did with Denver, the guy's had a hell of a career.
Well, and I have been emphasizing this in Chicago. Look, the record wasn't good. We all know that.
Yep.
But he did a lot for the culture in that locker room to set them up for the success they hope to have with
They're a different
Nagy.
Place. It's a different place.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I don't know their thought process over there a lot of times, how they go about it. You look back at it right now, and they probably kicked themselves that they got rid of Lovie Smith when they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of get a little short-sighted sometimes. And sometimes they move too quickly, and sometimes they move too slowly. But there's not consistency in what they do.
Do you think that John regretted the 3 years in Chicago?
That's
I mean, it happened really quickly after the Denver.
After Denver, right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he made that because there was – things going on there in Denver, but he thought he was going to have a great relationship with Ryan Pace.
Yeah.
So, and obviously that didn't happen. But
so well, they didn't have a good relationship.
Well, they did at first, but obviously when things go south, things go south. But, yeah, they did at first. They had a phenomenal relationship at first. I thought those two guys were going to really mesh well together, and I think they did, but there's a lot of things that just it didn't pan out, and, you know, whether it's personnel didn't pan out or coaching decisions didn't pan out, it just didn't pan out.
And there seemed to be some confusion about Mitch Trubisky and drafting him and
right.
how much John knew about that.
Well, that's exactly right. And no matter what, you got to make sure everybody's on the same page. And even after that, you know, Foxy kind of protected the organization of how much he really did and didn't know, which he didn't need to do.
Okay. Very interesting. Well, Jay, we know that you're the insider and have the insight on all that, and you'll be helping Kyle get over all these surgeries that he's having?
Kyle is not human.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what. You can cut the guy's head off, I think he'll make the Pro Bowl next year.
Okay.
It's unreal. I mean, really, he's the strongest dude who's ever put his hands on me in his life, and that includes Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture and Josh Barnett and Von Miller and Andrew Whitworth and Dwayne. There's nothing like Kyle Long. There's nothing like him on the planet. He is the strongest individual who has ever put his hands on me in his life, and that's who you want being the face of your offensive line, and that's who you want protecting your young quarterback and Mr. Trubisky, no doubt.
Yeah, everyone in Chicago wants to see him healthy again. Jay Glazer, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it,
man. There he is, Jay Glazer, Fox Sports, and you can see him with MMA, Bellator, as he mentioned, coming to Chicago at Allstate Arena April 28th, and he's going to be all over the TV coverage now going forward. So pretty cool for Jay Glazer. All right. Well, man, that was an insane show, and we still got one more day to go, and tomorrow is going to be pretty booked up as well. I'm trying to even bring up this list right now of people we have booked for tomorrow. The big one, P.J. Fleck, Minnesota's head coach, Minnesota Gopher head coach, played at NIU from Illinois. He's going to be stopping by here with us, as well as a Rich McKay, who is the Falcons vice president. And the reason we're talking to him is because he's on the competition committee, and this whole catch no catch stuff that we've talked a lot about, Roger Goodell talked about, he's involved in all that stuff. So he's going to come on the show too. And every day we sit down here, surprises happen, like Kenny Mayne, that we're not planning for. And so I'm sure as these more and more celebrities roll in here, we'll have more tomorrow as well. All right, time to wrap up here on Sports Central. Went long, but for good reason. It was good to have Jay Glazer on. Very interesting comments about the Bears and John Fox's relationship with Ryan Pace. And, I guess I'm not completely surprised with what he had to say about John Fox not knowing about the drafting of Mitch Trubisky. I think he did know that they were very, very interested. I don't think John Fox was aware that draft day was going to go down the way it did, with them trading up to number two and doing everything they could to grab him. But, hey, look, Bears made the move they had to make, and there was no question they had to move on from John Fox, and now the Nagy era begins, and hopefully they have a better relationship, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, than maybe Ryan Pace and John Fox did towards the end. Well, another fun day here on Radio Row Sports Central. My name's Adam Hogue. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Another jam-packed show from the Mall of America.